Honey, the kids are going nuts. Everybody's stir crazy, and my patience is running thin.
It's almost lunchtime. Why don't we go to Caitlin's? Their food is amazing, and they have those awesome baskets filled with fun to keep the kids pacified and entertained.
Oh, that sounds perfect. What is it you like to get there again?
Ooh, for starters, I love their green chili and chicken nachos. Then, I usually get Moe's queso with the ground chuck patty, cheddar, and jack cheese, diced onions, tomatoes, and green chilies between two warm flour tortillas, served with a side of green or red chili. Yum! What about you?
Well, I'm famished, so I think I'll get one of their 13 sandwiches. Maybe I'll get one of each. And I love the way you can get their sandwiches made into wraps instead. Maybe one of their bacon green chili cheese burgers, or their salads, or
honey, rein it in. Kids, we're going to Caitlin's.
Caitlin's Restaurant, at the corner of Mississippi and South Birch Street, just east of Colorado Boulevard in Glendale. Open Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 2 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday, 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. Caitlin's Restaurant. You'll love it every bite of the way.
We're back with Champions of the People, the Bell and Pollock Injury Show. For over three decades, the personal injury attorneys at Bell and Pollock have provided compassionate, personalized legal service. Put their experience to work for you. Go to championsofthepeople.com or call 303-795-5900.
Fasten your seatbelt. Here we go. The Bell and Pollock Injury Show, the Champions of the People Injury Show. We do it for you. Education, information is empowering. You have to beat the insurance company. They're going to try to beat you. They got a strategy or strategies. They have their own attorneys. They have their own doctors. Some of them have doctors down the hallway. Some of them orthopedic surgeons on call. They all have these doctors where they can have them call them to examine you, called so-called independent medical examinations. The point I'm trying to make is they have their own strategy, and it's a very detailed, comprehensive legal strategy. You can have your own strategy. You can have our legal game plan. When you come to see us, if you've been injured, a family member's been injured, 303-795-5900. We'll be glad to talk to you and give you a free initial consultation and a free legal game plan. This is war. You can win this war. To win it, you need to know the attacks. It's like a military operation. I've said that all the time. You need to know your enemy. You need to know the attack. You need to know their propensities. You need to know their rules, their approaches, and how they're going to come at you. Then you can win the war. Now, what does all this mean? We got sudden emergency. The Colorado Supreme Court, in the case of Bedore versus Johnson, abolished the doctrine of sudden emergency. And now we're talking about the law school textbook definition of negligence, what a reasonable person would do under the same or similar circumstances. Then enter the doctrine of comparative negligence. And so let's lay the groundwork for comparative negligence, because that applies to sudden emergencies, so-called sudden emergencies, and it applies to snow and ice conditions.
And wow, amazing what they dream up for an excuse. Somehow you're comparatively negligent to what they're doing, to what somebody else is doing. So somebody is out there driving. They're not heeding the circumstances. They're not paying attention to the road conditions. They're not paying attention to the highway. They're not paying attention to the weather. And they're not paying attention to what they're doing. They somehow feel they have a right to drive any way they want, to drive not the way they want, notwithstanding what the circumstances might be. And then somehow they claim that you're comparatively negligent. And what excuse are they going to use to say you're comparatively negligent? And that's something you've got to be ready for, on what excuse they're going to use. Why are they going to say you were comparatively negligent? Maybe you stopped too soon, too sudden. You shouldn't have stopped when you did. Or maybe you didn't take off as fast as you should have from the light. Maybe you did have a little bit of a slip out and it caused them to panic and run into you. The excuses they're going to try and use is amazing, but what they're trying to do is they're trying to say that I'm not 100% negligent for this. I'm only 75% negligent, or I'm only 90% negligent. You did some things wrong too that you shouldn't have done, and because you did those things, now I don't have a full responsibility to you for all the injuries I caused.
You know, these conditions about snow and ice, and that's part of the sudden emergency doctrine. We try to never let the other side use those words, sudden emergency. We got to talk about the comparative negligence statute. That means to compare the negligence of all the parties involved in the crash, the at-fault party and you. And that's when the insurance company tries to blame you for part of 10%, 5% at fault, 45% of fault. If they put over 50% or over fault on you, you get nothing. Zero under the statute. Zero. Doesn't matter about the snow and ice. You know, factors to consider. Did they slow down? Did they turn on their lights and wipers? Did they increase the following distance to 4 seconds? Did they avoid puddles? Were they prepared to handle a skid safely? I'm going to tell you a real live example. Brad and I just finished a case where a truck, an 18-wheeler, rear-ended somebody at an intersection, and they tried to say it was snow and ice, and tried to say that there was sand on the road, and the truck driver didn't really know that this person was going to stop at the intersection, and so it was a snow and ice case, and of course the truck lost control, and the rear-ended condition happened. It's that basic. It's that important.
Well, I can't tell you how many times we've dealt with cases where they claimed that our client, who was injured, didn't have their signals working, and so they didn't know which way they were going, what they were doing. It amazes me how many times they'll say, I didn't know they were making a right turn or a left turn because they didn't have their blinker on. But at the same time, when you say, well, you know, that's going to be a fight. Because our client says, of course I turned my blinker on. And they're saying, no, the blinker wasn't on. And, of course, the police officer check and they find that everything was working all right. But, okay, the fact they were turning isn't what caused the at-fault party to run into the back end of them. What caused the at-fault party to run into the back end of them is the fact that they were slowing down for the turn. And so they're slowing down. So the next step you do is you say, well, wait a minute. The taillights were working. The brake lights were working. You saw this person was slowing down. You saw they were coming to a stop. That's what brake lights mean. Now, in actuality, they probably weren't coming to a stop. They were coming. They were slowing down to make their right-hand turn, or maybe they were coming to a stop to wait for traffic to pass as they're making a left-hand turn. But the important part about it is that, you know, the person claims, well, your blinker wasn't working, and that's what caused me to run into the rear end of you, when it really wasn't. You had plenty of opportunity to stop. But once again, they're going to make the argument. They want to put some comparative negligence on you, and they're hoping they can dupe a jury. They're hoping they can dupe the finder of fact into believing that, hey, if you don't have your blinker on, then you are comparatively negligent. We don't care about the fact that all the other signals were there and the appropriate ones were there to have us not run into you. We just want to find that you did something wrong and claim because you did something wrong, now you're responsible.
You can call our law firm, Bell and Pollock, anytime. We'll give you a free initial consultation and a free legal game plan. 303-795-5900. That's 795-5900, or go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. You can fill out a form there. We'll contact you and cover your case, your circumstances. Basically, the law in Colorado after it was the Bedour versus Johnson case said, where the Colorado Supreme Court abolished the doctrine of sudden emergency, abolished it, but they still tried to use it in one way or another. Basically, the law is the law of negligence, and we just gave you the statutory textbook definition of negligence and then the statute of comparative negligence. It boils down to this. Did the at-fault driver have a reasonable belief, expectation, or should they have a reasonable belief or expectation of the snow and ice? And so if you go to bed at night and you know it's snowing hard in Colorado, then you have an expectation there's going to be snow and ice in the morning. There's going to be slush. If you're driving in the mountains and it starts to snow, then you realize it's going to be snow and ice. If you go through the minor items, like what was the following distance? Was there puddles? Did you know that there was going to be oil and grease on the highway increase when it starts raining or snowing? Or you would be aware of icy patches? Did you see snow or ice on the road when you were driving that day before the crash? And Brad just made a great point a minute ago that all these other cars, thousands of other cars, had no problem, but you had the problem, and the insurance company, through their attorneys, tried to convince the jury that there was a sudden emergency and it was really nobody's fault.
And that's the way they try to avoid responsibility. The real question you have to ask each time is, did you make proper adjustments to your driving to address what the problem was? And we can use some examples. I mean, if you're driving late at night and you're tired and you're sleepy and you're starting to drowse and you realize that you're starting to drowse, the proper adjustment is to pull over and get some sleep. The proper adjustment is to do something to make sure you stay awake. That's a proper adjustment. Makes sense. Nobody, I think, listening can argue to that fact, that that's the proper adjustment. Okay? So if you suddenly run into somebody because you fell asleep at the wheel, the question is, did you really make a proper adjustment? Now let's put it on snow and ice. If you're driving down snow and ice. Now, how many of you sitting there can say you've been driving your car down the road on snow and ice, being careful, acting like a reasonable, prudent person, and next thing you know, comes zipping by you is some four-wheel drive Jeep or truck or other car. It doesn't have to be a Jeep or truck, any car that goes by you because they got four-wheel drive or they act like they're able to get through it, through the snow and ice better. And the first thing you think in your mind is, wow, that person's really, really not driving very well. And you realize, well, really what they've done is they haven't made proper adjustments for the snow and ice. Now, we all know what the problem is with these people going through. Yes, they've got better traction. They've got great tires. They've got studs. They've got chains. They've got great tires. They've got a four-wheel drive. They're going through it. But their stopping distance doesn't change. And so they're zipping through because they can get through the snow and ice. Their stopping distance doesn't change. And so when they get in a crash and you don't, did they really get faced with a sudden emergency? Is it really the snow's fault or the ice fault? Or did they not make proper adjustments for the circumstances, not of having a four-wheel drive and not of having great tires, but of recognizing that stopping distance don't change and I am going to have it actually be longer if I hit black ice or if I hit snow ice or if I hit some kind of condition?
Snow and ice. And the bottom line is, on all these conditions we're talking about, all these sudden emergencies, so-called sudden emergencies, is there a reasonable expectation of the driver to anticipate? Was it foreseeable? That's an important word in the law. At trial, in your case, for settlement, was it foreseeable? And all those factors we've been talking about goes into whether or not the at-fault party should have foreseen driving his or her car today, the snow and ice, or there would be black ice, or there would be frozen roadways, or it was raining, then it turned to snow, and then it was freezing, and the temperatures are below 32 degrees, and the road's frozen. Should have foreseen these events. And so this is a war that you can win. To win the war, you must have a strategy. Part of your legal strategy would be able to prove what they could foresee and what they should expect, and therefore they creamed you and injured you and took you out of your game plan in life. Bell and Pollock, Champions of the People. We'll be right back.
It's Mandy Connell, and it's time for Your Legal Minute, brought to you by my friends at Bell and Pollock. Listen to their show right here on KOA every Saturday at 10 a.m.
Hi, I'm Gary Bell of the law firm of Bell and Pollock. We are injury attorneys. This is Your Legal Minute. What happens if you're hit by a driver that does not have any insurance? They said, I'm sorry, my insurance expired last month. I'm sorry, I never got any insurance. Or better yet, I've seen it happen. Here's my insurance card, but when you call the company, they said it expired 3 months ago. They have no insurance. What do you do? Where do you go? I'll tell you right now. You need to go to your own car insurance policy, the UM coverage. UM stands for uninsured motorist coverage. Make it as high as you can get it right now, because if you're hit by a driver with no insurance, this is where you go to recover for your injuries and losses. Gary Bell, Bell and Pollock, championsofthepeople.com. We'll help you.
Bell and Pollock. Find them online at championsofthepeople.com. It's Mandy Connell, and it's time for Your Legal Minute, brought to you by my friends at Bell and Pollock. Listen to their show right here on KOA every Saturday at 10 a.m.
Hi, I'm Gary Bell of the law firm of Bell and Pollock. This is Your Legal Minute. I tell you what, you're injured in a car crash. You go to the emergency room. You go to your medical doctors. They give you medical treatment. They give you conservative modalities of treatment, but you're still hurting. Maybe your neck hurts. Maybe it's your low back. Maybe the emergency room doctor said your MRI was perfectly normal, but you still hurt. Can you still recover? Of course you can recover. You need to prove your injuries, damages, and losses. You need to file a legitimate, truthful, complete claim with the insurance company for the at-fault party, and you need to understand what the laws are in Colorado. Bell and Pollock, championsofthepeople.com. We can help you. We can explain your rights to you. We can explain them so you'll understand them and know what to do and what not to do. Bell and Pollock, championsofthepeople.com will help you.
Bell and Pollock. Find them online at championsofthepeople.com.
We're back with Champions of the People, the Bell and Pollock Injury Show. For over three decades, the personal injury attorneys at Bell and Pollock have provided compassionate, personalized legal service. Put their experience to work for you. Go to championsofthepeople.com or call 303-795-5900.
Here we go, the Bell and Pollock Legal Show, the Champions of the People Injury Show. Our website, championsofthepeople.com. Our telephone number, 303-795-5900. You come into our law firm, you're going to meet with an attorney. You're going to have experience on your side. You can have any of our books for free. You're going to get a free initial consultation. And by the way, your strategy, your legal game plan is tailored to you. Your type of accident, was it snow and ice? Different game plan. Was a drunk driver? Different game plan. Was the defendant driver, the at-fault driver, medically non-compliant? Different game plan. That's on liability. We're talking about liability today. We're not talking about your injuries, your damages and losses, because they're going to try to beat it on liability. If they win on liability, they don't pay you anything, nothing, zero. Or if they win part of it, as we explained on the comparative negligence statute, they blame you for 40% of it or more. And under that example, let's use a stupid example, number example. Let's say you're going to recover $100. That's stupid, because all injury cases are worth a lot. So $100, but if they blame you for 40% of the negligence, they're going to subtract 40% from the $140 and only pay you $60. And we're not even to the damages, injury, and losses, how they're going to attack your injuries. So that's very important that you know this. But you can win this war. You know, while we're talking about this, have you ever got on the internet and got the driving manual? You might have taken your driving test long ago. You ever seen the driving manual on these subjects we're talking about? And also, Brad, there's a careless driving statute in Colorado. There's a reckless driving statute in Colorado. These have to be pleaded. These have to be used by your attorney and you, and it has to be done in your case.
For sure. The attorney has to take a look and realize what's going to be the defense in the case, what's being argued in the case, and watch how the pleadings come out. The attorney also has to look at what the pleadings are that the defense advances. What is the defense arguing to begin with? So the attorney has an awareness and knowledge of what's happening and can start directing or addressing the excuses that are being made. Obviously, the first people normally on a crash, as far as after you're with the first responders and the police, is an adjuster, an insurance adjuster, who's taking a statement. Sometimes those insurance adjusters will share the statement. Sometimes they won't. Sometimes you can find that they've slanted the statement. Sometimes they've done a straight-up statement. You have to pay attention to this. You don't get a chance to talk to the client, or we don't get a chance to talk to our client most of the time before the crash. I mean, obviously not before the crash has occurred, but even before the adjuster talks to them about the crash. Why is that so important? Because the adjuster can try to slant it into making you second guess what you're saying, can try to slant the whole interview to make you believe that maybe you did do something wrong, or get you to review your actions in 2020 hindsight and say, man, you could have done something to have avoided this crash. You could have done this. You could have done that. Or really, we can all just agree that this was a crash that was unavoidable because of these events, and then start rattling off events. And it's important that you recognize and you slow down and recognize that, wait a minute, some of these events are not events that made the crash unavoidable. They are events that were unavoidable. And if the event itself is unavoidable, then the crash was something that didn't have to happen. And so that's what you have to realize. If the event didn't have to happen, then the crash didn't have to happen. And you've got to look at what is causing the claim that, man, it was just the circumstances and nobody could have done anything different.
Insurance company attorneys always want to focus on the snow and ice, focus on the conditions of the road, focus on this was very dangerous, this was unforeseen, this was a sudden emergency. You and your attorneys need to focus on the driver who hit you, the at-fault driver. And so, you know, you do this by breaking it down to its simple components, because many times, and we've covered it in these shows before, we say you're rear-ended and you say, how in the world could I be at fault because I was rear-ended? And we're explaining it to you and we're telling you, and you can be partially at fault, wholly at fault. when you start to prove these, when you start to develop your legal game plan. Careless driving in Colorado. The statute, 42.4.1402. I won't bore you with the statutory site, but it tarts off a person who drives a motor vehicle without due regard for the width, grade, curves, corners, traffic, and use of the streets and highways. Without due regard is guilty of careless driving. You know, Brad, we can say almost the same thing. The statutory definition of reckless driving is the same, but you must build this into your legal game plan from the very get-go so that you can file the claim with the insurance company so you can win the war.
Sure, and that takes examining the case and recognizing what the factors are that led up to the crash, and that's why I'm saying you need to go back. A lot of times you need to go back past the crash, and you have to look at the circumstances. You know, people don't realize you've got to pay attention to the area in which the crash occurred. Did it occur in mountain driving? Did it occur in city driving? Did it occur in rural driving? How many of you sitting right there think or have ever thought that, wait a minute, does my driving have to change based on whether I'm in the city, whether I'm in the mountains, or whether I'm driving out in farm country in the rural areas? Now, probably every single one of you that's a driver and has driven these different areas, you do change your way of driving. You do change your habits. You do change the way you're looking at things, your lookout, and what you're watching for, and what might be important to you and what might not be important to you as far as avoiding injury to your occupants and to other people when driving. But the lawyer representing you, and when you get into a crash, these are things that have to be considered right away. Where were you? Why were you there? And what were you doing? Were you driving down the road looking for an address in a residential area, or looking for a particular store in a city area? Or were you driving down the road in a rural area where you were just passing through to get to another location? And how does that change your driving habits and the lookout that you have to have?
If you're missing these points, if your attorney's missing these points, then you're missing the strategies. You're missing part of the strategies. You have to have multiple strategies. If you come see us, we'll give you multiple strategies, a legal game plan. We'll give you a copy of our book. We trademark protected our book, Legal Game Plan. Brad and I have over 30 years of experience each helping injured victims put their lives back together again. We packed a lot into this book. We can pack a lot into your case. Think about this for a minute. Think about this. All these factors we've been talking about, you've got to adjust your driving conditions. And if you go to page 26 of the Colorado Driver's Manual, you'll see what we're talking about. But all these factors, fog, rain, snow, oil, grease, were you aware? Did you have reasonable expectations? Could you foresee? The definition of reckless driving in Colorado, reckless driving, not careless driving, a person who drives a motor vehicle with a wanton or willful disregard for the safety of persons is guilty of reckless driving. A wanton or willful disregard. So I'm going to ask you rhetorical questions. Is it a wanton and willful disregard to not adjust your driving conditions? It is a wanton and willful disregard to speed during snow and ice. Is it wanton and willful to not reasonably foresee and expect these conditions on the roadway? So now you're talking about rules of the road, careless driving, reckless driving, the Colorado Driver's Manual. These are the rules. These are the ways you win this war.
So when you're looking at a sudden emergency, you have to look and you have to decide, you have to ask, really, what were the circumstances leading up to the sudden emergency, and was this something that should have never been an emergency to begin with? It should have never been any kind of problem to begin with, because you should have adjusted what you were doing to address that factor. And so you have to look at each and every factor. And like Gary said earlier, when you're talking about a diabetic attack, something that's been caused by diabetes, and you know, you've got to go back when you and see whether or not the person took their insulin when they should have. Did they? Have they been following the proper diet? Did they create their own emergency? An emergency which started a month ago, or which started 2 months prior? Did when somebody starts getting medications and they start taking the medications and they start mixing the medications, especially they're getting a number of different medications, 2 months, 3 months later, they're in a crash where they've hurt somebody because they haven't been paying attention, or they passed out, or they were in a fog, or they were too tired. Was the real were they faced with a sudden emergency of just passing out, or did they really cause their own emergency, cause their own problem, starting 2 or 3 months earlier when they were taking medications and drugs without paying attention to what effect it has on them and without making sure that how the drugs interacted.
Right. If you look at page 26 of the Colorado Driver's Manual, you'll see these are the rules of the road. You had to study these rules to and pass these rules to get a driver's license. You have to comply with the rules of the road. The defendant, the at-fault driver, has to comply. The insurance company has to comply. Do not let them blame you for this crash in the snow and ice when they say it was a sudden emergency. So you're partially at fault. No. Do not let them talk about sudden emergency to you. You're going to talk about the comparative negligence statute, and you're going to talk about the textbook definition of negligence, what a reasonable person would do under the same or similar circumstances, and you're going to talk about these factors. And Brad hit the nail right on the head. You got to look back. Take the point of the time of the accident, the collision, and look back. Back, meaning what happened, meaning what were the factors or the facts, the knowledge, the weather forecast that would make somebody foresee and understand and have a reasonable expectation that they should engage in appropriate, adjustable, and adjusted driving behavior. That's one of the ways you start with your legal game plan. You start with the statutes. You start with the common law. We talked about reckless driving today. We talked about careless driving. That's part of it. The comparative negligence statute, that's part of it. How did this crash occur? How are they going to try to beat you on liability? How are they going to try to blame you? How are they going to blame the liability, the event, the accident on you or on somebody else to reduce their exposure, meaning money, meaning less money? Gary Bell, Brad Pollack, our law firm is Bell and Pollack. We do cases all over the state of Colorado, and we have for over 30 years. We can help you put your life back together again. Call us at 303-795-5900 or our website, championsofthepeople.com, because we are your champions of the people.